Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace. Go in the Holy Spirit's power. Sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We wish that you would join us on Sunday mornings in person at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. If you can't join us in person, we live stream our Sunday morning worship service. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream and join us. You can worship, you can chat, you can offer up prayers, and you can fellowship and grow in Christ. If you miss those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel. It's the Seed Christian Fellowship, and watch any of our services, our weekly, our complete worship services, or weekly messages, or even just our children's messages. Our prayer is that you will come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit. I have a little pastoral prayer that I'd like to start with today. I know that's a little different, but I think as we begin a new year, I think it's good for us to pray. We come together today to affirm our conviction that God cares for us. Whatever our ethnic, religious, or political background may be, the Bible says that He is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in his troubles. God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble. So we pray, Lord Almighty, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Today, we come together to confess our need for God. We've always needed God from the very beginning of this nation, but today we need him especially. We're involved in a new kind of warfare, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically, and we need the help of the Spirit of God. The Bible says God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. God, you're our creator and sustainer. You created us and you will sustain us. We ask, Lord, that you'd be our refuge in these turbulent times. Be our refuge during this time when we have divisions and chaos. Be our strength when we are weak. Be our strength when we can't stand. Be our strength in the storm, Lord. Lord of eternity, you have been our ever-present help in trouble. Be with our leaders, the leaders of this nation. Guide our leaders to come together in unity so that we truly are the United States. Be with our president, our legislators, and our representatives. Be with our judges and shine your light and love into their hearts. Let there be reconciliation and peace in this nation, our states, and our homes and our lives. Out of all the crime, corruption, calamity, and catastrophes, crisis, confusions, and chaos that has come against us, calm us. And let us hear the words from the cross, "It is finished." We know that all the destructions, devastation, doubt, despair, despondency, depression, divisions, and death are defeated with the cry of the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Well, today, on the church calendar, we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, and we begin his ministry of healing and proclaiming the kingdom of God in the land. We're going to read from Genesis chapter 1. It's a long reading, 1 to 31. Let me read the opening. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, 'Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water.' So God made the expanse and separated the water from the water and under expanse from the water above it, and it was so. God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, 'Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear,' and it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw what was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seeds according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, there was morning on the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light to the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars, and God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light to the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and there was a fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the birds across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and living, and every living and moving thing that which the water teems according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase in the earth, and let there be evening, and there was morning on the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made all the wild animals according to their kind, the livestock according to their kind, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over the living creatures that moves on the ground. And God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, they will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for good, for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning on the sixth day. A serious student of the Bible will find that each time you return to the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, will be a little bigger. Something like Lucy's experience when the Lion of Aslan, the Christ symbol in C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, as she gazed into his large, wise face, Aslan says, welcome, child. Aslan said, Lucy, you're bigger. Little one, it's because you are older. Little one, answered her, not because you are, I am not, but every year you grow, you will find me bigger. My hope is that we will work our way through the wonders of this year, reading God's Word, book by book, chapter by chapter, and we will find Christ bigger and bigger and bigger. What do we know about Genesis? What do we know? Why do we even study Genesis? What do we hope to gain from a study in Genesis? Let me give you a quick overview. Chapters 1 to 11 deal with humanity. There's four great events. Chapters 1 and 2 give us the creation story. Chapters 3 through 5, the origin of the human family and the fall of humanity, evil, human choice. Chapters 6 through 9, the flood. Chapters 10 and 11, the rebellion at Babel. Then you have the four patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham in chapters 12 through 25. Isaac picks up in chapter 25 through 27. Jacob's story is told in chapters 28 through 36. And then there's Joseph's story, which is told in chapters 28 through 50. So you have the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You have the creation story. You have the fall of humanity, the flood, and the rebellion of Babel. Why do you think it was important for Moses to record the beginning of things? How is it significant for the Jewish people? How did Jesus consider the accounts of Genesis? Bereshith, which means in the beginning, what is the dominant theme in chapter 1? Bereshith bara Elohim. God or Elohim is the dominant theme in chapter 1. It's mentioned, I don't think you were counting, 35 times. God is the subject, plural, created is the verb, singular. The plural created the singular. Don't miss that. God was there in the beginning. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Bara means to create, and it means to create, or contains the idea both of effortlessness, or creato ex nihilo, like Hebrews 11:3, or as Isaiah 40:26, or Revelation 4:11. The word bara, create, is only used of God in the Bible. Let me say that again. The word bara, create, is only used of God in the Bible. God is the one who creates. Listen to what it says in Hebrews. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Hebrews 11:3. Faith is used 21 times in Hebrews 11. Maybe a good so what question. Where's your faith this year? Lift your eyes and look to heaven. Now, maybe you're working, maybe you can't get out of bed. I don't know where you're at. Lift up your eyes right now. Who created all these things that you can see? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls each one by name because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing, it says in Isaiah 40:26. In Revelation 4:11, it says, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have been from the very beginning." Revelation 4:11. In Genesis 1:2, what does that verse say to you when you think of something formless and void covering the darkness that comes over your mind? What does light mean to you? It was like fluttering, it says. And you can look up that in Deuteronomy 32:11, or Psalm 33:6, or 2 Corinthians 4:6. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray. What does it mean that God creates out of the formless void? For God said, "Let their light shine," and he made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:6. There are 8 different simple phrases that begin with, "And God said, let there be light." John 1:4, 2 Corinthians 4:6, Ecclesiastes 11:7, 1 John 1:5-7, Revelation 22:5. Notice that darkness is not abolished, but darkness is subordinated, or darkness is covered. God saw, God divided, and God called. You're getting a lot of Bible references today. If you want any of these references, you can email me at Pastor Dave. I want you to know that out of the chaos of our lives, there is a creation. Out of the chaos of our lives, that's what God is doing. He's creating. He brings light into the darkness, something that's formless and void, and he says, "Let there be light." In Genesis 1:26, he says, let us make in our image, let us make after our likeness. First time that God speaks to himself, that's what is recorded in Genesis 1:26. It's the first time God is speaking, and he speaks to himself. He says, "Let us, in our image, make our likeness." What's that mean to you? What does it tell us about God? What does it say about God's intentions? We could read 1 John 3:2, or 4:12. Genesis 1:28 says, "God blessed them." God blessed them. So what? How does this opening chapter express the gentleness and love of God? What does this opening chapter say to you about God's view of your personality? What does this say? What does the opening chapter of Genesis say to you personally? What aspects of God's creation did God name? Think about that. Go back and read Genesis 1. What aspects of God's creation did God name? What aspects of God's creation did God allow humans to name? What's that mean? I want to read Genesis 1, or I mean John 1 for a minute. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What's interesting, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but the word was is a verb, and it's eimi, that's how it's pronounced in Greek. But it's an imperfect verb, meaning the action, imperfect active verb, meaning the action is continued. So in the beginning, God was, or you could say God was wasing. Now, wasing is not a word, but God was the Word. And it's saying God was the Word. He always was the Word. He always will be the Word. And the Word was, always was, with God. And the Word was and always was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines into the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world and through the world. Though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born of natural descent, born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a human husband's will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he is before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Listen again to these verses. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos of God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Through the Word, everything was made. Nothing was made without the Word. In the Word was life. In the life Word, there was light. The life Word shines on all people. The life Word shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never overcome it. The Word was now in the world, even though the world has been made through the Word. The Word made the world. Think of that. But now the Word chose to come and live with us in the world. And yet the world did not recognize the Word. So my soul, what for you today? Do you recognize the Word? How do you recognize the Word? The Word came to us who were his own, but they did not receive the Word. So my challenge to you, do you receive the Word? To those who received the Word, to those who believed his Word, the Word Jesus gave all who received and believed in the Word, Jesus, the right to become children of the Word. Children not born of natural descent or human will, but born of God. And it says the Word became flesh. The Word dwelt among us. The Word let his glory be seen. We have seen the glory of the Word, the glorious Word from the one and only, the glorious Word from the Father, the glorious Word full of grace and truth, the glorious Word of truth. Did you know that the most sacred symbol in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, is a tree, a sprawling, shade-bearing 80-year-old American elm? Tourists drive from miles around to see this tree. My wife and I went to visit it. People pose for pictures beneath her. Arborists carefully protect her. She adorns posters and letterheads. Other trees grow larger, fuller, even greener, but not one is equally cherished. The city treasures the tree not because of the appearance, but because of its endurance and perseverance. This elm tree endured the Oklahoma City bombing. Timothy McVeigh parked a death-laden truck only yards from her. His malice killed 168 people, wounded 850, destroyed the Alfred P. Mura Federal Building, and buried the tree in rubble. No one expected it to survive. No one, in fact, gave any thought to the dusty branch stripped tree, but then she began to bud. Sprouts pressed through damaged bark, green leaves pushed away gray soot, life resurrected from an acre of death. People noticed. The tree modeled the resilience the victims of the tragedy desired, so they gave the elm a name, the Survivor Tree. As we begin this year, the Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart that we should not only remember our baptism with a new name in white stone, we have one more thing to think about. God wants to give each and every one of us His Word for us this year. I don't know what the Word is that God wants to give you. That's really between you and God. Your so what for today is for you to take some time this next week, sit with God and God's Word, and see if the Holy Spirit lays a word upon your heart. Just one word. I would call it a word of intention. Last year, my word was free in 23. This year, more grace in 24. More in 24. More of God, more of His grace, more of His love. I don't know what your word will be. There is a ministry out there called My One Word, and they encourage you to pray and choose a word that they think to think about and pray about during the year. One year, my wife's word was intentional. She wanted to become more intentional. She wrote it down and put it in the middle of her calendar. Every day, she'd go check her calendar, and she would see what was going on, and there was the word intentional. One year, she picked the word flourish. The word flourish, despite, you know, lead poisoning and despite chelation, I think the word flourish is a great word. I haven't ever done this, but as I spent time in Chicago, this one-word ministry idea was everywhere I went. I saw it in the hospital, on my iPad, and even heard about it from my friends in Illinois. They've been doing it for years. The more I thought about it, the more I liked it. The more I liked it, the more I thought about us doing it together as a church. I've been praying about my word for a week. I feel like I've been satisfied and content and healed. And one of the words that I want is healed. I can send you a list of words. What is your word? What do you have for, what is God putting on your heart? That's what I'm challenging you with. You have a list of things you want to become this year. What kind of person would you like to become this year? What is it that drives your desires to become the person you are? Make a list of these words based on your desire to become that person. Then take some time to sit with God quietly and choose the one word for this year. Choose a Bible verse that speaks about your chosen word. I'm willing to help you. Write the Bible verse down and memorize it. Make it your verse for the year, for this year. I've made a list of words. I can email them to you. You can email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. I'll send you a list of the words. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Do you realize that God's Word is alive and redemptive? No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, God wants to dwell within us and change our lives. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we give thanks that we remember again Your great love for us, and we remember that You call us to be with You. Help us find a word of intention for this year. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine graciously upon you this day and always. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.